Okay, very good. We're now into the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. DJ Barden is my name, and we're here in rain-sodden England and Wales. It's just shocking. Been raining here since mid-September. And on top of that, we've had four typhoons, if you like, since December 6th, and another one this week. And luckily, the internet's held up tonight. But shocking. I mean, the Hereford had biblical-type floods, the worst ever flooding of the Wye and the Severn River. Shocking, shocking, shocking. Cars submerged in water up to the roof. It was really bad. Worst ever. But just one thing about to finish up that article on pharmaceutical drugs that can give you dementia. There is this well-proven resource called galantamine, which is a natural herbal substance, G-O-L-A-N-T-A-M-I-N-E. And what it is, it's grown here near the Brecon Beacons. It's the extract juice of daffodils, a certain strain of daffodils grown at a certain altitude, which has been proven to arrest, totally arrest, the advance of Alzheimer's and dementia. And the BBC did a piece on it there about 18 months ago. And it's very good. There's two versions, the natural version, and of course there's the pharmaceutical version. You've got to get the natural version. But it's proving very, very successful. And when I can find somebody who can speak about Turley, I'll bring them on. But anyway, just getting back to Steve Turley's output and good pieces from this week's broadcast. Steve Turley has two pieces. We'll play one of them now, Ken. It's the one where he's talking about, I see it up here, the Trump, not the Turkish rage, Steve Turley on, what did I call it up myself here? Steve Turley on the breakdown of the ethnic support for Trump. Yeah, that's the one. It's about 11 minutes. But Steve Turley talking about the massive increasing ethnic support for Donald Trump. That one there is, it was second on the list of the ones I sent you today, Ken. If that one's ready. Okay, go ahead. It's 11 minutes. We have time for it now. Yeah. Okay.
Did you know that President Trump got 28% support among Hispanics in 2016? But if the election were held today, he would get upwards of 41%. That's right. President Trump is absolutely surging among Hispanics. And we're going to take a look at a fascinating explanation for why Trump is seeing such a surge of support and what it means for the election in November. I think you're going to find it very, very interesting. Stay tuned. Greetings, everyone. Dr. Steve here. Great to be with you. As always, a happy Friday to each and every one of you. If this is your first time here, I post two videos a day analyzing current events in light of super awesome conservative trends so you can live in the present in light of even better things to come. So if you haven't already done so, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. It'd be an absolute privilege to have you as a regular part of this channel, where we together get to every day celebrate the inevitable collapse of left-wing globalism and the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age. Now, before we get into Trump's surge of support among Hispanic voters, make sure to download your free gift, which we put together just for you. It's a resource that we're calling our fake news antidote. It's a compilation of about 20 sites that I go to for my news each and every day. And you can download it completely free at the link down below in the pinned comment section. I think you're going to really enjoy that resource. And finally, you know, many health experts now agree that consuming collagen is as crucial as it gets to renew and revitalize how you look and how you feel. It's being touted really as the greatest supplement to ever hit the market. It can do wonders for reducing wrinkles and strengthening hair and nails, supporting healthy pain-free joints, reducing cellulite, and even boosting metabolism and dropping those unwanted pounds. But did you know that most collagen supplements don't actually work at all? I mean, literally, they like have no benefit. I encourage you to watch the free video at my site, healthwithsteveturley.com, or simply click on the link below to learn about how to go about choosing the right collagen for you and the proper way to use it. That's healthwithsteveturley.com. All right. What a great way to end our Friday here. President Trump is absolutely surging among Hispanics. Let's take a look at the latest poll numbers with Latinos. The Washington Times is reporting an Emerson College polling survey that was taken last week that found that President Trump now has upwards of a 44% approval rating among Hispanics, and they show him winning 41% of the Hispanic vote in a head-to-head matchup with the cultural Marxist Cuban communist Bernie Sanders. The level of support is significantly higher than the 28% that Trump got back in 2016. And the Times cited also two other polls, Political Morning Consult survey and the Economist YouGov survey, both of which found that the president has been gaining with Hispanics now for the last couple of weeks. Just last week, both surveys found Trump at around a 35% approval rating among Hispanics. Now this week, both found him at 39%. Well, one 39%, the other one found 38%. So we're clearly seeing a surge among Hispanics. Now, we have three corroborating polls showing Trump's support among Hispanics. It's growing very significant. And seriously, if we're talking upwards, you know, 50% support, I mean, frankly, gang, this is over. If Trump wins 40% of the Hispanic vote like George W. did back in 2004, he will win re-election quite handily. It's basically a numbers game. Democrats simply can't afford to lose their cultural Marxist identity politics-based coalition to the tune of 40%. They just can't survive that, right? Now, of course, this wasn't supposed to happen. And the Washington Times piece gets into this. They point this out. According to the conventional political wisdom, which is an oxymoron if there ever was one, right? According to the conventional political wisdom, Trump should have been slaughtered in 2016, right? You can't run around talking about, you know, Mexican rapists and gang members crossing the border, insisting that the southern border needs to be walled up, and the unending line of illegal border crossings needs to be stopped once and for all. You can't talk like that and expect to win a national election. The disdain of the left-wing, politically correct Marxist media alone would destroy you. You simply weren't allowed to talk like that. You would lose 90 to 95% of the Latino vote in a manner comparable to the way the Republicans have lost the black vote, right? Getting at most only about maybe 5, 6% of the black vote. And the GOP would not sit in the White House for the foreseeable future. They would be guaranteed to lose the Latina vote and as a consequence, the White House for at least a generation. That was the conventional wisdom, the conventional political wisdom. And then Trump showed up. And Trump says, you know, you guys are the political class. You've got no idea what's going on here. There is a political paradigm shift that's happening right under your feet, and you don't even realize. And so he came out with a thoroughly nationalist populist paradigm that was supposed to politically marginalize Hispanics to such a degree that he couldn't have a prayer in getting more than 5 or 6% of their votes. And in the end, he got almost 30%, right? 28% of Hispanics voted for Trump. And as much as that shocked the political class, I think they're even more shocked at the increase in support for Trump among Latinos in 2020. And Democratic operatives are taking notice of that, and they're sounding the alarm. Christian Ramos, who's a former spokesperson for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, she just published a piece in The Atlantic sounding the alarm about Trump's poll numbers among Latinos. And guess what she identifies as the major reason for the Democrats losing Hispanics? High intermarriage rates among second and third generation Hispanics who marry into white American families, and a declining immigration rate, which is separating more and more second and third generation Hispanics from their ancestral homeland. Now, you may be interested in this, but I posted a very controversial video, turned out to be controversial, on the future of whites in the United States. And it was based on a number of analysis assessments of the latest census figures. Again, you could check it out by clicking on the link, but the basic argument is really rather simple, if not shocking. Whites are indeed poised to be the supermajority population in the United States for as far as the eye can see into the future. Now, I know that's a shock to many of you because you've been led to believe that whites are going to be a minority in this culture by 2040 in a matter of just a few years. But that's a radically faulty conclusion based on an asymmetrical racial composite. Now, you have to watch the video to get the full sense of what I'm saying there. But one of the things that we cover in that video is that second and third generation Hispanics, we're finding, are disproportionately inclined to intermarrying white Americans. And we're finding that their political persuasions trend overwhelmingly conservative as a result. Remember, two phenomena are increasing in the United States in tandem with one another. Interracial marriage rates are going up at the exact same time that conservative political identification is going up. More and more Americans are identifying as conservatives in tandem with more and more Americans intermarrying in terms of interracial marriages. And what this is doing, and by the way, it's very predictable, all right? We get into that in the details of the other video. But what this is doing is it's turning, and again, generally speaking, it's turning the non-white spouse more politically conservative. Again, it's no secret that whites make up the vast majority of the conservative population in the United States. That's a well-established demographic fact. And what this person writing for The Atlantic is pointing out here is that more and more Hispanics, when it comes to the second and third generations, are actually moving over and identifying with the conservative politics of, shall we say, the dominant ethnicity. So this is a phenomenon that sociologists have actually called ethno-affiliation. We've talked about this in a number of other videos. I find it actually a rather fascinating concept. Ethno-affiliates involve minority ethnicities that are avid supporters and defenders of the dominant ethno-cultural traditions of the nation to which they've migrated. So we have to remember that an ethno-cultural tradition is larger than the ethnicity with which it's associated. So the examples I like to give is like some of the best interpreters of the German classical music tradition were born and raised in cities like Shanghai and Beijing, right? Or another example, my personal favorite, you may be surprised to learn that for 17 straight years recently, the national sumo wrestling champions were either Bulgarian, Estonian, Polynesian, or Mongolian. Japan went 17 straight years without a Japanese sumo wrestler champion. The ethno-cultural tradition of an ethnicity is larger than the ethnicity proper. So it's very similar to the way many people live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They're not themselves Amish, but they nevertheless are highly supportive and protective of the characteristic tranquility of Amish culture and landscape that they've grown to love and revere, right? And that seems to be what's happening here, according to this Democrat writing in The Atlantic. I think she's very perceptive. What seems to be happening is that a large portion of the Hispanic population here in the United States is very interested. They're starting to move in the direction of conservatism through largely intermarriage. So what we're seeing here is that President Trump is clearly expanding his political base for to be much, much wider than it was in 2016, which promises that he'll have even a more successful election in 2020. All right, before you go, I just posted a video on some very concerning issue going on in Turkey. Turkey is threatening to open up the floodgates of Syrian refugees once again into Europe. Yep. But that threat is already creating a massive backlash in the form of surge of support for the nationalist populist right. So you definitely want to check out this video. I think it's very, very important, but it's also very, very encouraging. So make sure to click on the link.
Okay, very good. Okay, and we'll play that video on when we go down the bottom of the hour and up the other side. It's very good about despicable creature Erdogan, who is a vile ally for anyone. It's threatening to open the floodgates and let all these immigrants through Turkey into Europe, etc., etc. But just looking at a map here on the Daily Mail website, it says amazing NASA image shows NASA satellite image shows how pollution has cleared over China almost completely because of the absolute blanket shutdown of industry in China, right? And it's very, very good. It's amazing NASA images show how pollution has cleared over China as coronavirus crisis has kept everybody indoors. Wow, country under a curfew, really. I'll just read the piece here. Daily Mail, Emily Weber writing this. NASA and European Space Agency have used pollution monitoring satellites to track nitrogen dioxide levels. So they're using here. The difference in concentration of nitrogen oxide is revealed in two maps released by the space agency. Almost no nitrogen oxide visible after China imposed lockdown in Wuhan. Well, that's something. Maybe that'll help clear the virus. Incredible satellite images show how pollution has definitely cleared in China. The difference in the concentration of the nitrogen dioxide is revealed in two maps, etc., etc. Right? Repeating itself. The first shows large concentrated gas over Beijing and Shanghai in the first 3 weeks of January, before the quarantine was in place. The second map in the last 3 weeks of February revealed the difference with almost no nitrogen dioxide visible over China. It's something else, these maps, because they could be digitally exaggerated, but they are. Scientists first noted the difference around Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus, after Chinese authorities shut down transport in and out of the city, as well as shutting down businesses and quarantining outbreak. But one thing, China is still a command economy. If the government says it stops, it stops. Much harder thing to do in the UK here. But six additional maps focus on Wuhan reveal the concentration of nitrogen oxide over the three periods, including before the Lunar New Year, during celebrations, after the festivities, etc., etc. It forms. Going on with the bleeding obvious here, but the other photograph showing the number of outbreaks around the world: 63 cases. What if you get agreed government figure in the United States? 14 in Canada, 57 in France, 32 in Spain, Italy, nearly 1,888, and climbing rapidly. And Italy has had the biggest invasion of immigrants in transit to other parts of Europe as well. Israel, 4, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Very low rate. Nigeria, 45. Kuwait, 45. And then small Germany, 45, 48, etc., etc. But I don't see one for Russia, only 2. But they will close their borders, yeah. And I wonder what the figure for Hungary is. Does it say it here? Lithuania, Switzerland, Germany, Estonia, Finland, Sweden, Belarus, Romania, 3, Russia, 2, Switzerland, 8, Austria, 3, Macedonia, 1, Greece, 4. It's amazing, considering 50,000 illegal immigrants on one island in Greece. Algeria, yes, low numbers, very low numbers. Azerbaijan, Georgia, 1, Macedonia. I don't see a figure for Hungary, probably none, because they closed their borders a long time ago, etc. Good on Viktor Orban for doing that. The only leader in Europe with really guts to defend his own country, etc., etc. But that's a major article on the Daily Mail website today, and it's really revealing. No, virtually, they'll end up with the cleanest air in Asia, possibly, for a while. And then it starts again. But another figure we should go chasing when the amazing amount of, well, a lot of stuff I read. Since Trump came to power and he gave these incentives for companies, to corporations to leave China and come back to America, I would say the uptake is very, very small. And I wonder, do they get the grant if they move 20% of their plant back, or 100%? We must get somebody who can answer those questions. Because, again, it's... I don't hear much activity that they say manufacturing has stabilized in America from declining, stabilized. But there's, after 3 years, it should be picking up massively from the claims that Trump is making about repatriating companies and corporations from China. But there you are. That's the way. But I'm just looking at some of the key stories breaking on the Daily Mail. But anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Okay, very good. And another story I should have highlighted earlier on. This shocking suffering of this young British woman. Now, she's ethnically Iranian, but she went to Iran to visit her relative, genuinely. She was a journalist in parts of the BBC, and they arrested her for being a spy, and she's been in jail for 3 or 4 years, separated from a 3 or 4-year-old daughter. It is a shocking piece of fundamentalism by the regime in Iran. And her name is Nazarin Zakari Ratcliffe. People say a prayer for this woman because she's suffering terribly, and she's now going to be very, very ill. And she may have that coronavirus. But Boris Johnson really screwed it up when he was Foreign Secretary in the House of Commons, said she was teaching journalism. Well, you can be arrested for that in Iran as a foreign soft power spy, you know. And he really did screw that up. But this woman, Nazanin Zakari Ratcliffe, right, which I've called Ratcliffe, British-born, British, ethnically Iranian, but totally innocent person, like Julian Assange is as well, been held in a Iranian prison. Shocking, but if he should do anything decent, he should do some deal or pick up some Iranians, vital Iranians that are vital to them in London, and then do a swap. That's the right way I would do it. But that woman is suffering terribly, but the... I say again, people go to UK Column News last Friday. It's UK Column News on YouTube, pop up, and look at the report. It's a 45-minute broadcast. At least half is given over to Patrick Henningsen, who was in court for 2 or 3 days, watching this show trial, this trumped-up charges against Julian Assange, which are absolutely 100% laughable. A joke. Sick joke. And maybe I should have taken that out as an extract today. I should have done that, actually. But what I do is I sometimes get committed and I get overrun by other people. But on the 14th, not here next week, we do a recorded program. But I will definitely lead with that. To get on the first hour, Patrick Henningsen's report on Julian Assange's situation. It's shocking. And he was strip searched 3 times the same day, handcuffed 11 times in a sealed case where he could hardly hear the evidence. And this woman judge, etc. But they're trying to stitch him up in this kangaroo court, which is absolutely appalling. And there isn't one shred of evidence that he's guilty. And the Americans claiming he's not a journalist. He is profoundly a journalist, which most of the media in Britain lived off his stuff for 10 years there. And now the Guardian, supposed to be a left-wing newspaper standing up for human rights, have ditched him and are basically attacking him. They are a despicable lowlife. I mean, there's the most disgusting deterioration in media in Britain, apart from the political correctness of the BBC, has to be the Guardian. They are the lowest of the low. All of them. And the way they have sold Assange down the river is despicable. But it's well rumoured that the ongoing shocking financial crisis they're in, you hear nothing about it now, and that the security services are now running the Guardian. And I think that is true. That is a shocking case. But next, on the 14th, I will play the report of Patrick Henningsen on UK Column News. I'll make them a regular spot because their quality of news reporting and journalism is second to none. Brian Gerrish, Mike Robinson, and largely Patrick Henningsen, they do it in rotation, two of them. And also there's David Scott and David Ellis in Scotland reviewing things, and David Ellis is a military expert on the secret deals done with Britain, even under this trade deal thing as well, where Britain has signed up to numerous security deals with a military union with the European Union, right? And also a procurement to be centralised procurement in Europe, which would be destroy the remains of the British military industrial complex, etc., etc. But all of that too. But UK Column News, Brian Gerrish, Mike Robinson, and Patrick Henningsen, the American guy, do a very, very thorough report. They've done major work over the years also on child abuse. And this Baroness Jay, who's supposedly running an inquiry into the paedophile activity in London and in Westminster, she's basically covering it up. And the evidence is absolutely comprehensive. The number of people she's not using and barring from being witnesses, it is a joke. Again, like most inquiries in Britain, the inquiry is the cover-up. Right? It's just sick beyond words. Well, the paedophile rings around the world in different categories and classes of people, and at the very top of society, in politics and in corporations, is massive, absolutely massive. There's no doubt about that. And the tentacles of the inquiry into the Madeleine McCann disappearance, where she didn't disappear, she wasn't abducted, she died in that apartment, investigated by an outstanding journalist called Richard D. Hall, is world class. I've never seen an investigation like it in my life. He did 13, 14 hours investigation, but he had a shortened version of 3 hours, which is worth looking at. Okay, we go to the bottom of the hour break, and we should be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In from the bottom of the hour break, the last half hour of the program, but we've got massive stuff on the coronavirus, but it's all been hammered to death. They're not minimizing it at all, but we'll leave that till next week. The we go to another piece now, and then in between times I'll look up the UK column. Ken has a piece there. The final piece that Steve Thurley referred to in his article about, he did a piece, and it's very good, about Erdogan's threat to the European Union and to all of us in the West, in Europe, to release the gates of hell, and like Turkey is a block on a massive wave of immigration coming into Europe. But Steve Thurley has a piece there, Ken, on the Turkish wave of immigration being allowed into Europe. He's giving that threat now, etc., etc. But he's completely off his head, Erdogan, and the Russians are finding him an unstable ally. They thought he was an ally. Well, he certainly is not. But Steve Thurley on the Turkish wave of immigration coming our way, possibly. Okay.
Turkey begins flooding Europe with migrants, but it's only going to end up guaranteeing a surge of support for the nationalist populist right. We're going to take a look at the latest threats coming out of Turkey and how European nations are already responding by reasserting their national sovereignty and border security in a move that will only embolden the nationalist right. Stay tuned. Greetings, everyone. Dr. Steve here with you. It's great to be with you as always. A very happy Friday to each and every one of you. This is your first time here. I post two videos a day analyzing current events in light of super awesome conservative trends so that you can live in the present in light of even better things to come. So if you haven't already done so, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. It's going to be an absolute privilege to have you as a regular part of this. Oh. It was going to happen at some point. We all knew it. Hundreds of Syrian refugees in Turkey are in fact beginning to cross the nation's borders once again into Greece and Bulgaria. As many of you indeed know, the Erdogan government in Ankara has been threatening for months now to unleash a torrent of new refugees into Europe if the EU and NATO fail to support the Turkish military's new operation in the Idlib province of Syria. Now, it's been getting hit by a combination of pro-Assad Syrian forces in Russia, and the latest hit involved an airstrike attack the other day that killed dozens of Turkish soldiers who were there to support Syrian opposition forces seeking to depose Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. And so one of the supposed cards that Turkey holds their leverage in this situation is to threaten to unleash a torrent of refugees that have come from Syria into Europe unless or until the EU and NATO officially support Turkey in its military operation against Russia and the Assad government. Altogether, about 3.6 million Syrians are currently living as refugees in Turkey. And what Turkey appears to be doing is saying, hey, look, the door to leave for Europe is open, but it's only going to be open for a limited time. So if you want to get out of here and go into Europe, you better go now. Now, obviously, the two nations most impacted by this decision to open the gates were Greece and Bulgaria. And so Bulgaria has announced that they're sending 1,000 troops and military equipment to the border with neighboring Turkey to prevent what they consider to be nothing short of an out-and-out invasion of their nation. In fact, it's being reported that Bulgarian border police have already prevented dozens of migrants from trying to cross the border from Turkey. In fact, Bulgaria has come out and said that there's absolutely no way they're going to allow migrants coming unimpeded into their nation with the whole freaking coronavirus outbreak going on, right? Same goes for neighboring Greece. The right-wing New Democracy government is tightening controls at their borders with Turkey. In many respects, Greece really was the main gateway for hundreds of thousands of refugees streaming out of Turkey at the height of the migration crisis back in 2015 and 16. Again, given the coronavirus outbreak, there's just simply no possible justification imaginable to allow thousands of new migrants into their nation, period. Now, you may have heard about the massive demonstration on the Greek island of Lesbos, which is on the front lines of the threatened invasion. For the last several nights, hundreds of Greeks living on the Aegean islands of Lesbos and Chios, they clashed with police after it was rumored that the conservative government was actually going to capitulate and start building new migrant camps there. And things quickly turned violent. More than 60 people were hurt, many of them the riot police, as protesters shouted, "Ochi!" Right? No way. They're emphatically not going to allow Greece to become the doormat of Europe for a new flood of refugees. Again, especially in the context of this worldwide pandemic. So it's just not going to be happening here. We have to remember, too, that nearly 43,000 migrants are still on the Greek islands. And residents are saying, "Ochi, no more. Enough is enough," right? Now, what should we expect from all of this? Well, again, I think we're already seeing it. You'll notice that German Chancellor Angela Merkel has been, shall we say, uncharacteristically quiet in all of this. And that's because, well, first, she's really lost much of her political power that she had back in 2015. You know, the rise of the AfD and the more conservative wing of the CDU have taken care of that. And secondly, as we've argued in other videos, the coronavirus is effectively shutting borders down all over the world. You'll definitely want to check out our video on how the coronavirus is destroying globalism by reawakening nationalist border control sentiments quite literally all over the world. Immigration and the coronavirus have combined to create the conditions for the implosion of globalism more than anything we can imagine. And so with this latest threat, we can only expect that the nationalist populist right is going to become even more powerful and more popular throughout Europe. And it's going to happen in two ways. First, we're going to see a rise in support of nationalist populist parties throughout Europe in the days ahead. Now, the combination of the twin threats of migrant and virus will serve only to increase the popularity of third-party nationalist populist movements. We have stats from the past several years. It's actually European Union data that shows a parallel between the rise of immigration from 2013 to its height in 2015 and a comparable rise in voter concerns over immigration right along with it. So the numbers rose in tandem with one another. So by, say, the late 2015, the number one issue in all of Europe among member nations was immigration. That was the number one issue most important to voters in virtually every single nation. We also have another study. We actually talked about this in the video that I just put up a couple of days back, Why the Left is Losing. You definitely want to check that out by clicking on the link here. It's a really good video on the massive paradigm shift towards the right going on all over Europe. But we cited a study there that found a significant relationship between immigration levels, rises in concern over immigration, and most importantly, a rise in populist right support in 9 of 10 Western European countries between 2005 and 2016. So we have clear evidence that as immigration rises, so does concern about immigration as a political issue. And as that concern over immigration becomes a major political issue, we begin to see a comparable rise in support for nationalist populist parties who support closing borders and putting an end to migration. And this increase in support is only exacerbated by centrist governments who refuse to acknowledge the growing political concern over immigration. And again, we noted in our video on why the left is losing that Europe is going through a massive paradigm shift where the political issues that define the 20th century are more and more being replaced by the new issues of the 21st century. And in a nutshell, an increasing number of Europeans are simply not interested in the economic or class conflicts of the 20th century, like what we're seeing with Bernie Sanders over here, Jeremy Corbyn with Labour. They're not so much interested in the rich versus the poor, generally speaking. They're not so much interested in state redistribution versus free market solutions or regulation versus deregulation or anything like that. Now what we're finding in poll after poll, in election after election, more and more Europeans are interested in issues involving immigration, culture, and national identity and national security. And to the extent that the major mainstream parties ignore this paradigm shift, they suffer in the polls and they get punished in the elections, and with the major beneficiary becoming the nationalist right, nationalist populist right. However, the mainstream parties, particularly the center-right parties, they're becoming increasingly aware of this paradigm shift. And so that leads to the second thing to expect from all this, and that's the pivoting towards the nationalist right among the mainstream centrist parties, who are increasingly becoming what we like to call nationalist populist light parties, right? So we've seen this with the Tories in Britain, Fidesz in Hungary, the Austrian People's Party, Law and Justice Party in Poland, the United Russia's Party in under Putin. This is where the mainstream conservative parties begin to adopt so-called far-right or nationalist populist right platforms as their own. And so in effect, you have a mainstream party going through a paradigm shift in tandem with a larger political paradigm shift among the population as a whole. And this is largely why the left is losing, right? They're simply not shifting along with the current population's paradigm shift. So they're finding that they've started to lose elections like never before, and they'll most certainly keep losing elections until they pivot in a way comparable to like the Social Democrats in Denmark and Die Linke in Germany, both of whom have moved to the right when it comes to immigration. So I think we could clearly expect, as a result of this threat of Erdogan, I think we could expect Europe to continue to move to the right, and perhaps faster and more intensively than we ever imagined just a few years back. Now, before you go, make sure to check out my new video on the new...
Okay, very good. Okay, that's great. No, that plays it out pretty clearly. And Ken did some very good jumping over the ads there, very clever. But just he has a very good grasp of worldwide politics. I think he's the best American blogging journalist who has a thorough grasp on what's going on in Britain, Europe, America, Canada, and around the world. And he was spot on the Brexit situation. And the Brexit result, the election result on December 12th really gave him a boost. And as I say, his overall thing is he does very good quality research and quoting the quality polling companies that, not as many of them, are showing the evidence. And the election results, which is the biggest poll of the lot, how it's moving back to conservative values in Christian values. I was surprised. I really was. I thought it was a lost cause in so many places, but we're all deluged by what's going on in the States and some insane countries in California and the Democrats being obscene. But anyway, looking at the South Carolina presidential Democratic primary results, where Joe Biden won. what is wrong with South Carolina? I mean, what is going on? Joe Biden, 250,000 votes, 48%. Bernie Sanders, 105,000, 19, nearly 20%. Whoa, Tom Steyer, billionaire, right? 60,000, 11%, and he's pulled out. Pete Buttigieg, 8%. Yeah, that's what he deserves. Elizabeth Warren, 37,000, 7%. And Amy Klobuchar, 16,000, 3%. Tulsi Gabbard, that's very sad. Well, that's really sad. She's the best candidate of all of them in the Democrats. 6,000, 1.28%. Wow, wow. I think they're using the electronic voting machines swindled out. That's an unreal result. Absolutely unreal. I think as anybody with any kind of decency, not that there's many left in the Democratic Party, that Tulsi Gabbard only gets 1.28%. Wow. Somebody called Bennett from a tiny vote, Cory Booker, Andrew Yang. But that's unbelievable. And that Tulsi Gabbard would get 1.8%, Elizabeth Warren 7%. Considering Warren beat the crap out of Bloomberg the other night, I'm amazed she only came out with 7%. But this just does not make sense, this result. I mean, they should analyze. I'd love to see the analysis. How many of those were ballot paper votes, and how much of them were electronic votes? it's looking pretty bad. But Biden winning the last death throes of Biden. Shocking, and it shows billionaire Tom Steyer ends his presidential campaign. Again, all the billionaire to try and buy his way into politics. He's despicable, and most of them are Democrats. Unbelievable. Absolutely shocking. And this on-running story, which I'm sick to the teeth of, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. God help Harry, he's such a naive little character. He really is. Nothing against him. Nothing wrong with the guy as such. There's nothing perverse about him, but and he served seriously in the military with full risks in Afghanistan, etc. But Meghan Markle, this piece of work he married, but he's gone to live in Canada now, and he's left the royal family, and the royal family have lost the Duke of Edinburgh. He's 96. He's really better, as they say. And Prince Andrew is under quarantine over his Jeffrey Epstein connection. And the other thing about Prince Andrew is I cannot believe that the security service didn't intervene when he not only hanging around Epstein, which the world knew was an appalling individual, but and he has his security all the time. And Epstein paid off some of Sarah Ferguson's, the divorced wife of Prince Andrew, who ran up debts of £3 or 4 million living the high life. That's where she ran up the debts. And then she was completely broken. Epstein paid off some of her debts. I mean, how the royal family and security services allow that is just beyond me. But he's getting deeper and deeper in trouble now, Andrew. The evidence coming out, I don't know what they're going to do with it. But, of course, he can apply for diplomatic immunity, being a royal, you see. So that will be the get out in the end, but et cetera, et cetera. But it will be some trade-off between Trump and the British government. And then there's this American diplomat's wife who killed, drove up the wrong side of a road coming out of a military base and killed a young teenager. And they won't, she's gone back to the States, she's scuttled back to the States. Trump won't allow him to be extradited. And there's a two-way extradition treaty between Britain and the United States. Right? So that's another bone of contention. There's quite a few rounds between Boris Johnson and Trump. They're not exactly buddy-buddies as people presume. But anyway, we go to the last break today and we'll be back in a few minutes.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're running out of time. Okay, it's very good. Sorry, Glenn, you've been hanging on a long time. Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, PJ. Hi.
Hi. Well.
Hey, what? Bulgarian president... Well, the Bulgarian president, Rumen Radev, says that they're going to build a 269-kilometer border wall with Turkey and that Erdogan's going to pay for it.
Well, you should wish him luck at that. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay. Never mind. Well, wait a minute. Never mind. They already have one. Ah, interesting. There's some interesting pictures of the, troops patrolling the border walls and fences that are there, but apparently they're not sufficient. And so if Erdogan understands that immigration can be weaponized, why can't the left wingers here in the U.S. get that it's a means of burdening?
They're too pig ignorant to do anything. They're just boorish, and they're living out this liberal life that they think is so good and so. But the amount of people in the Democratic Party, I think an awful lot of Democrats will just vote against the Democrats this year. Either vote for, if they don't want to vote for Trump, they'll vote for independence. So the Democrats will lose the election this year.
You talk about limousine liberals. I mean, you know, now, I mean, it's limousine communists, for crying out loud. Sanders is just, Bolshevik Bernie Panders.
He's in favor of mass abortions to cull the population of African countries. That's his attitude to that. He's a vile creature. He's a bitter, resentful, senile, semi-senile geriatric. I mean, the fact that he's winning conventions, and that figure I read out, that's why it wasn't back on the site here. In the South Carolina vote, where they voted the majority in the Democratic convention for Biden. I mean, Biden is a pitiful sight. And he's a criminal.
He has made some of the most outrageous faux pas in the past week. I mean, like just literally dementia type fantasy stuff that he's he's stating as autobiographical anecdotes of things that he's done that he just hasn't done. He's literally lost it. Pelosi seems like she's kind of drifting.
She's such a hard. She and Feinstein are such hardcore financial criminals as well. The money they've made from insider information is unbelievable, and then the media don't play a glove on them. I mean, this is never mind the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Pelosi's been soft pitching contracts to her husband or whatever, right, for decades or whatever. I think the Democrats missed the boat by disregarding Tulsi Gabbard. And, I still think Buttigieg is going to be put in the vice presidential slot by the Dems.
He's a CIA candidate, that's right. Yeah, we're not so the
whoever.
He's
definitely, they're going to put him, and I can picture them still wanting a woman. Some people still think they're going to bring Hillary out. That seems almost impossible to me. And Klobuchar, unfortunately, she's sane.
It's pretty bad.
Take care.
Anyway,
thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, we've come to the end of the program, and we'll be back live on the 14th with Deborah Tavares, by the way, who's committed to that date. And as I say, we'll be back on the 14th with a live program, and we'll talk to you then.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.